Father, we just come before you now. And Lord, we thank you that everything we do, Lord, is for your glory. Father, we thank you for the privilege of knowing you the way we do. Lord, for the heart you've given us to serve you and to serve your people. Lord, that you're making us a light. So, Father, we just come before you now. We ask that the Holy Spirit just come in a mighty way and have his way in this place. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We've had a lot go on this week. I'm going to teach a little bit of the things that God had me teach this week or minister to. If you went to the conference, that was at least by Saturday night when God gave us that revelation of what ministry really is after he spent the whole Friday night and Saturday changing our mindset. It was really powerful. And the word ministry in the Bible, when it says to minister, the actual word there is selected service. It's selected service. And so when you can begin to say, well, wait a minute, these, what we call the fivefold ministry, really all that means, these particular gifts to the body, their selected service, are to believers. And so your selected service, it's selected by the Holy Spirit for you. Your selected service is your ministry. That's why the Bible says every one of us has a ministry. And then it puts it in a whole, to me, a whole different plateau of, oh, we really all are ministers. And so if you're married, you have a select, according to God's word, you have a selected service to your family. And if you're an employer, you have a selected service to the customers and those people who come through the door. If you're an employee, if you own the business, you have a selected, already automatically based on God's word, you have a selected service to your employees. And so the fivefold ministry, they've been selected to serve. That's what it's selected to serve the body of Christ. Isn't that awesome? That is such an awesome revelation because it totally destroys a lot of the covering thinking of the people doing all these things for the fivefold ministry. And then the fivefold ministry is there so you to bring the unsaved in or whatever. I don't even know anymore what their thinking is. And think about it. Jesus Christ's selected service was to all mankind. And when he walked on the earth, his selected service for a season was to his family. Until the time that he was, when his mother told him to change that water to wine, his selected service at that point in his life was to his mother and to that wedding. And then his selected service then came to those he was mentoring and teaching and pouring into. So it's really neat when you can begin to see it that way. So as I begin to look at, you know, what God is doing in my life, I can say, okay, Lord, my selected service, what he has selected me to serve right now are those who come to the meetings on Tuesday nights and Friday nights, and those who he has knitted with Beauty for Ashes and with the thrift store during the week. They're not there to serve me. I'm there to serve them, and I'm there to serve that vision, to do what God would have me to do. And that's what he really empowers me for. So I have to price that stuff for Irene so she won't be upset when the customer asks her and she has to look stupid because she doesn't know the price. If I wasn't so busy, I would have already done it. We talked to Leslie. She's found out that she has a selected service to the smaller churches, especially East End and maybe Norfolk, who really come in day-to-day contact and are called to serve the homeless and the poor. God's called her to serve those people who are serving the homeless and the poor by us serving her, for her to take the extra items we have and get them distributed. It kind of changes the way you see ministry. It ought to. And it makes a lot of sense. And so I just thank God for that breakthrough in revelation, and that's by looking at what the actual Greek word is when you see the word ministry in your translations. I don't know for sure why they changed some of these words, because I think they weren't seeing properly after the Dark Ages when they started translating some of this stuff. But anyway, so think about that in your life and realize you are in ministry. If you are a born-again believer, you are automatically in ministry. Who am I selected to serve? If you're a salesperson, you're selected to serve those people who come through there, and you're selected to serve. Every Christian is selected to serve the world that they could see Christ. That's true evangelism. You know, Lord's really been teaching us these things. God just doesn't like to, for us, he just doesn't drop a little thought in your head. He really makes you understand it. and he tests your heart with it. The whole idea of ministry is kind of exciting, and you need to keep it in mind as you think of your parenting and your what God's called you to. And think of it this way too. Remember before we said that God doesn't want us to think in terms of our responsibility, because then it becomes works that we're in charge of and makes people obligated to us. But now we have something we can put into that to make sense. Okay, I'm not responsible for my children in the sense of my responsibility and they're obligated to me, but I've been selected by God by being the parent and he gave me those children. I've been selected by God to serve them. And the same with the spouse. Oh, wait a minute. I'm not the head of the household in the sense of lording it over. God says that position makes me selected. I have a selected calling from God according to his word to serve my wife to the point of laying down everything for her. And the wife has a selected service to her husband to submit to his headship and to submit to those things that God is giving him and showing him, and to minister to him that way. She has a selected service. You have a selected service. You've been selected to serve your children. You're going to hear me talk about this quite a bit. This isn't a little revelation. God's going to change the thinking in the body of Christ because it takes it into a whole new level. And doesn't it line up with Jesus saying, those who would be the greatest among you are the servant of all? Well, think about it. Get this now. And we've always taken that to mean the person who would just work behind the scenes. But truthfully, if you take this in understanding of ministry, what he's saying, the one who's going to be greatest among you is called to serve the most. And that is actually the callings where the people serve the most people. God says, these will be the greatest among you because their heart is to serve. And so there's going to be a lot of people to find out when they get in heaven. Like Rick Joyner's book, Final Quest, talks a lot about people getting up there and they really were serving themselves. They were really building their own kingdoms. But it looked like to the world or to the church that these were like, quote, superstars. And God knows the heart. And so God is really, in my life, especially with this whole thrift store thing and this building thing, he is really breaking this thing down to, I will empower you to serve. I want you to serve. That kills your flesh. That really kills your flesh to really realize God wants you to do this. You're not doing it for money. You're not doing it for reward. You're doing it as unto the Lord. You're seriously doing it as a ministry call in your life. Instead of trying to escape all that and go have a ministry. Most people want ministry to escape the world. We want to escape work. We just want to preach. The Lord's changing everybody's thinking. And actually, when this transformation happens, the church will be looked at by the world as something that they don't understand, because it will be such a powerful serving instrument in the world. And if you look at the whole world heading towards leisure and relaxation and retirement and all these concepts, and yet you see a group of those empowered by God come forth who are servants, it's going to be light and darkness. You'll really be able to tell the difference. So that's exciting. Like God gave us that. I don't know if I'll get to the revelation he gave us this week for, I'll go ahead and put this on here. On Tuesday nights, we've been doing a lot of inner healing deliverance. And we've been talking about having worth. Well, God, we did a deliverance the other night for someone who has an enabling spirit. An enabling spirit is a spirit in you that enables other people to get away with stuff. It enables people to be abusive. It enables people to be alcoholics. It enables people. It's like a looking the other way kind of spirit, but inside you really think you're doing them a favor. And so we've been dealing with that and tearing it down, and one day we're going to have a conference just for that and get all this on tape. But one thing as we were doing an inner healing that was powerful was to see an enabling spirit actually takes the place of the Holy Spirit. It's a counterfeit spirit that takes the place of like a savior or a redeemer or even a judge. And it makes excuses for, it looks the other way for, it just takes the place of God. And what we went deeper with was, why would somebody take on an enabling spirit? And the bottom line of taking on an enabling spirit is, you have bought the lie that you are worthless. Therefore, if you could find one person who treats you special or shows you favor, or there's something between you that only you can help and understand, that feeling of being special in the eyes of one person, then you think you have worth. when we broke this thing down, it was really powerful. The truth is, it's the place of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who is the one that you want to come in and make you special. And what God showed us in this, and I can't get into all night, but whenever we get a conference or tape series to help people get free from this enabling spirit, and a lot of you have enabling spirits in different ways. It's an enabling spirit. You take the place of the Holy Spirit. You want to make sure everything's right and easy and goes okay. And something in you gets fed that you're good at this or you're okay with this. And so even some of the parents with their kids, the enemy would put it there, take the place of you trusting God with it and being led by the Spirit when you discipline, led by the Spirit when you say no or yes. And God's convicting me as I'm saying this, but because I've been wondering what that thing was. It's just something that you think you're helping them, but a need in you is getting met in some way that this makes you a good mom or a good husband or a good wife or a good friend or a good son, a good daughter. And what it does, it takes the place of leading with the Holy Spirit. But the reality is you don't need one person to make you feel special to have worth. You need the Holy Spirit. And what the Lord was showing us in this inner healing was the reason some people can't just buy that they have self-worth even after knowing they're made in the likeness of Christ is because, folks, we're made in the likeness of God, but we lost that at the fall. We lost being in the likeness of Christ at the fall because what made us in the likeness of God was the Holy Spirit living in us. And so Christ came to give us back our value. And what God, the Lord, this is really wild, but the Lord in the center healing we're doing shows we were purposely made from dirt because without him, that's all we are. And that's why after the fall, they returned to dirt. I mean, that's really something for someone made in the image of God. And what he's saying with that is, without me, you're just dirt. And so the real truth is, to take this thing deeper than God had given us, and everything I've said before has been true, we just think this is a new level of deepness with it, is, and some people have really low self-esteem, they're not going to buy that they have worth, even with the teaching we've done. It's helped them to see their love. It's helped them see how much Christ paid for them. They understand all that, and that's true. But before Christ, when you buy into that you have no value and no worth, and you're evil and you're wicked, guess what? It's actually truth. But it's not truth in love, and it's perverted truth because Satan takes it to say there's no hope for you. The truth is, yes, there is, because yes, I'm wicked and evil and on my way to hell before Christ, but Christ has died for me. And we're the only vessels that God created that he would house in. And so even before we find him, we have value in that we have the potential to once again be united with God. So every human being has potential for great worth that animals don't have and insects don't have and monkeys don't have. So yes, we're created with a potential to have an unbelievable amount of worth. And that's why we don't feel like we have worth until we find Christ. And if we do feel like we have worth before Christ, then it's counterfeit. And then it's self-esteem based on your works. Isn't it cool how God does that kind of stuff in the middle? What was it? 12 o'clock at night or something one night while we were working in the store. One year we're going to laugh. We're going to go back and listen to all these tapes over this 1 6-month season. We'll count how many thousands of times we talked about the thrift store. You can kind of find out my journey in life by listening to the tape. Say, oh, that was back before her son was healed. And that was back when that was happening. It's just the way it works with me. Everybody thinks they know everything about me because they probably do. I don't keep too much. I don't think I keep any secrets. I don't have any secrets. Yay. Then you can't find one to surprise me with. So anyway, isn't that powerful? And so you really need to say, wow, Lord, you created us to have worth. And we were made in your image and your likeness, but we lost that value at the fall. But then Christ had to pay that horrific price to buy back or to be able to purchase us back. And then we still have to make that choice to ask His Holy Spirit to come and live inside of us. And when the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, you are made in the image of God. But you have to let Him bring that to completion. That's why He says, be complete in Christ. So I thought that was pretty good revelation. I wanted to get out there since we just learned that ourselves the other day. It seems like there was one other one. Anyway, we've just been having a really awesome time growing in the stuff God's teaching us.